Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week's message is titled Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. The scripture reading is Matthew 28, 1-10. Thank you to Rhonda, Earl, Glynis, Don, and Ed for being part of the video. Happy birthday to Alain, Jonathan, Kristen, Gloria, and Barb. And happy anniversary to Sherry and Ernie.
Good morning. And welcome. And we'll start out with some announcements, I hope. John, not sure which John.
Actually, two Johns, John M and John F, both have birthdays this week.
So, Jenny has a birthday this week, and Anne has a birthday this week. On Wednesday night at 7:30, we're going to start having a Bible study with Paul. If any of you have ever done a study with Paul before, which I have, he's a person of depth, and they're good lessons. So come on Wednesday night from 7:30 to 8:30, and this is going to go for a month and a half. Ella, one of our Great Lakes students, one of the students who helps in Jen's class, hey, Ella helps in your class, was baptized recently, so that's always good news. So, yeah, we've got some great students in our that are in our midst normally. They're not here today, but normally they are, and we appreciate them. If you've come here today because you want to be around just people that are the same as you because they're good and they're wonderful, you've come to the wrong place, because that's not who we are. We are all deprived sinners, just like everybody else you're going to see. And we're deprived sinners, but we're deprived sinners who rely on Christ and who so appreciate his death and his resurrection and look forward to our own resurrection. And we know that in spite of who we are and in spite of what we do, we're saved by his grace. And we're just so pleased to be here, and we're pleased to have the encouragement that we can give to each other. And let us pray. Dear God in heaven, thank you so much for this day, and thank you so much for your Son and for all that you have done for us by giving him. And thank you for your grace and for your love. And we pray that you will help us to be all that we can be, and that we will be your servants, and that we will do your will, and that we will be an encouragement to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Adam. Emotional songs and the power of the cross. Front and center today, right? Good Friday, Easter Monday, resurrection. So the death, the burial, and the resurrection, which we celebrate particularly on Easter Sunday. Traditional Easter greeting in the Western Church is, "He is risen." And the response is,
"He is risen indeed."
Right. This is based on Luke chapter 24 and verse 34. And so in Luke chapter 24, the beginning of that verse is at the end of the chapter. But in the beginning of Luke chapter 24, verse 1, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead?'" Powerful statement. "He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise. And they remembered his words. Well, he is risen. The strength of that, I remember this responsive statement. He is risen. He is risen indeed. So I looked, you know, computers, Google. but it came up and found out a little bit more about that saying, which I'll share a comment in a minute. But then I started looking at videos, YouTube. And I want to play a very powerful song, which I hope will help you to feel the emotion of what these people must have realized when that those figures appeared and said, "He is risen." Pretty powerful, for sure. And, you know, it's without detracting from those sentiments, later on in Luke 24, well, there's a gap, and Jesus appears to them, and they don't know who it is. But there's something about him, because later on in verse 28, so Jesus is walking with them. They don't know who he is, but it says, so they drew near to the village to which they were going, and he, that is Jesus, acted as if they were going farther, as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them, and when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. See, he'd done that earlier, before his death, before his burial, before his resurrection. He instituted the table we're about to participate in. But now again at a table, he breaks bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. And guess what? Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road?" See, there was something about him that was familiar. They knew, but they didn't know who he was. And then when he's revealed, they reflect and say, "I thought there was something about that guy." "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. And then, as the song says, they went on and were faithful and did great things in spreading the news of Jesus and what he had done and established churches. But this was a moment of pivotal response to knowing who Jesus was and then to getting out there and doing his will. And so at the end of the song, the video, the power that raised him from the grave now works in us to powerfully save. He frees our hearts to live his grace. Go tell of his goodness. He is alive, he is alive. Heaven gates are open wide. He is alive, he is alive. Now in heaven glorified. And so the conclusion of this Christian responsiveness and the history of it, the author makes this comment. Using this address, he is risen. Using this response should be more than an empty tradition. The words "he is risen" remind us of the joyous news we celebrate at Easter, that Jesus' death was not in vain and that he has the power to overcome death. Saying "he is risen" allows us to share this incredible truth with each other. The resurrection of Christ gives us hope for salvation and for our own resurrection and eternal life. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your love in sending Jesus into this world. Although it was a terrible death on the cross, it was a triumphant resurrection, and in that we celebrate today as we think of the hope that it gives us beyond this life. And we pray, Father, that as we take these emblems at this time, remembering his broken body and his shed blood, that you'll help us to reflect on the love story that you have demonstrated to us, and that we might in turn internalize that and go forth and share it with others. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
He's dead. He's gone. Everything they had loved is over. If their hearts had burned within them, it was over. For two people, they had already seen an almost miracle in that they were women. They were somewhat second-class citizens. Mary Magdalene, who had been the worst of the worst, a prostitute, had not only been told it's okay, but had been taken into a fold of men who treated her as equals, who valued her mind, who valued her thoughts. That's, I can't emphasize, that's amazing. But he's dead. And so these women go down to mourn at the tomb. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid, they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.
Good morning, everyone. The enthusiasm of youth. Today, I'm just going to move right along. We're going to be talking about Good Friday and also Resurrection Sunday. Then Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and offered it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from all of it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for forgiveness of sins." And Jesus said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." So as we've had communion today, it represents Jesus himself, his lifeblood and resurrection. The resurrection that you and I will also enjoy. And blood was part of it all, certainly on the cross. Mark 14, it says, Jesus said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." And then in Acts chapter 20, in verse 28, the Apostle Paul is saying goodbye to the elders of the church. And he knows that they're going to have a challenging time, and he's going to have a challenging time. And reminds them, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Romans 3, God presented Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement, which means forgiveness, through faith in his blood. Romans 5 and 9, Paul continues emphasizing peace and joy for all in Christ because of Christ's sacrifice. And he says, "Since we have now been justified by Christ's blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Jesus?" 1 Corinthians 11:25. Paul is doing his very best to be an example, to help the church in Corinth. And he has significant struggles talking about everything. And then he says this. He reminds them of what Jesus said. "This is the cup of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." In the book of Ephesians, "In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that God himself lavished on us with all wisdom and all understanding." Or in Ephesians 2, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." So out the scriptures, the word blood is used everywhere, and it's for our benefit, for our salvation. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ Jesus to reconcile himself to all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, listen, by making peace through his shed blood on the cross. Hebrews 9, "When Christ came as the high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not part of his creation. He did not enter by means of blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption." Us too. "The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who were ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences that leads us to death so that we might serve the living God." Whew. That is a mouthful. And how precious it is. We really have no idea who wrote the book of Hebrews. But whoever he or she was writing this, it's magnificent. Going way back to the Old Testament time, bringing it right up into the present time, and here, 2,000 years later, we're standing right here, hearing these same words. Listen to these precious words for each one of us. Therefore, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by blood, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is to say, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincere and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our own bodies washed in baptism. And then moving on with Peter, for you know it's not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that we have been redeemed by the empty way of life handed down by our forefathers, but by the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without spot, without blemish, without defect. And John, often called the apostle of love, says this, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us of just about all our sins? No, all our sins." And again, John says that Jesus is the blood sacrifice. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only our sins, but listen to this, but for the sins of the whole world. So when John gets these revelations, last book in the Bible, Revelation, chapter 1 in verse 5, listen. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. And he is made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. Who knew that we belong to the kingdom? Who knew that God sees us as priests? All of this, he gives this eternal gift. And then a revelation, and they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain with your blood. But with your blood, you purchased men and women for God from every tribe, every language, every people, and every nation. And my favorite scripture from Revelation is Revelation 12:11. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even to shrink from death. It really is marvelous. The picture that we see toward the end in Revelation are these words. And I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. And with justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God, Jesus. It wasn't easy being a Christian in the first century. Persecution was rampant, and it was difficult. And people were willing to lay down their lives, even for the fact that they knew the resurrection for themselves and all of us would come. So when we look at this, when we look on Good Friday, we've often neglected it, but it really is the most powerful of all days. But we can't miss the resurrection. And I just want to share a couple of thoughts regarding the resurrection itself. He is risen, the Bible says. He is risen, and we often would say in response, as we've done this morning, he is risen, he is risen indeed. And so the Apostle Paul says, why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, from top to the bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split. Listen to this. And the tombs broke open. And then these words that we often forget how powerful this is. The bodies of many people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tomb after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Can you imagine? I was at your funeral 3 days ago. How do you get here? See, when Jesus was raised from the dead, he raised many people from the dead. And we're part of it. Death is not the end. His creation, we're part of it forever and forever and forever. And a new heaven and a new earth are married together as one. We will be and are part of it even now. Death is not the end. We'll see each other again. A new heaven and a new earth. It's powerful to me because the Word of God says this. Listen, there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write these words down because they're trustworthy and true. And if Jesus says they're trustworthy and true, I think we ought to write it down and believe what he says. It's not some magical thing. It's not some mystic thing. But death is not the end. We will see and be with our loved ones again. And in 1 John, this beloved, wonderful, wonderful man says, this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And guess what? As a reminder, the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. And at the end of the book of 1 John, he wants us to have complete confidence in the salvation that God gives us. Listen to his words. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you do have eternal life. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will receive. We know him, Jesus, who is true. And we are in him who is true by being his son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. And so in the book of Acts, in chapter 2, when the church is just really getting going. And very quickly after the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, Jesus returned to heaven and then comes and he encourages the Christians to keep moving forward. We have these precious words in the book of Acts. People of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by wonders, signs, and then all kinds of things, as you yourselves know. But he was handed over by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. But you put him to death, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from death, for it was impossible for death to keep its grasp on him. So if you would, in your mind, picture this. The wonderful man of Luke says this. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus. And while they were wondering about all this, suddenly two men in clothes, gleaming like lightning, they were so amazed. They stood beside them. And in their fright, they bowed down their faces to the ground. But the angels, the men, said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you? While he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." And then they remembered. They remembered his words. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, and the mother of James, and others. And they told them of these to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and he ran to the tomb. Bending over the tomb, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Now that same day, the two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking to each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus came up to them and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. There's a sermon right there. He asked him, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" As if he didn't know. They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only the visitor to Jerusalem and don't know the things that have happened there in these days?" Can you imagine somebody saying that to Jesus? And Jesus says, "Well, what things?" "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God, among all the people." He's talking about himself and they still don't get it. "The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who told them Jesus is alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women said. But Jesus, they did not see. Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Did not the Messiah, Jesus himself, have to suffer many things and then enter his glory?" And then they had this long sermon, beginning with Moses and all the prophets. He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Jesus talking about himself, even back in the Old Testament time. And so they approached the village to which they were going. And Jesus continued on as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized Jesus. And then he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Then they got up, returned at once to Jerusalem, and there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and said, "It's true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Peter." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to all of them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking that Jesus was a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do you doubt? Why do they rise in your minds? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, Jesus asked them in all of this, "Do you have a snack? Do you have something to eat?" And they gave him a piece of fish. And he took it and ate it in their presence. And then this remarkable thing happens. Then he opened up their minds so they could understand all the scriptures. Won't that be marvelous to understand it all? He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning here in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and I'm going to send you what my Father promised," talking about the Holy Spirit. "But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high," again, the Holy Spirit coming to live in us. And when Jesus had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him. Then they returned to Jerusalem. And they returned with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. See, Good Friday is a horrible day, but it's a wonderful day. It's horrible because Jesus died. He shed his blood. It's wonderful that he did it for us, the forgiveness of sins. And not only that, we're part of this story. His shed blood for them is the shed blood for us. We shed the same blood. Doesn't matter how many years have gone by. And this promise to his apostles and disciples is his promises to us. Resurrection for all of us. Death is not the end. It never has been. We will be with one another again and again and again, forever and ever. Our God never leaves us alone. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, as we have remembered today and been reminded of your great love and mercy shown to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, we give you thanks and praise. We're thankful, Father, that he was willing to die a humble death, a humiliating death, a painful death, but that on that third day, that he was risen. Our Father, we serve a risen Savior. We pray, Father, that we might live our lives where a risen Savior is the center of our attitudes, our motivation, our intentions, our language, our actions, that we might be known as people who exhibit love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control, that our lives might be lived in honor of your great sacrifice and great gift of love in resurrection and the resurrection of our Savior. We pray, Father, as we leave this place, that we will be forever changed by knowing this and by including it as the central piece of our lives. To this end, it is our intention to do this. With your help of the Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. Scripture quotations marked ESV are from the ESV Bible, the Holy Bible, English Standard Version. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. You can learn more about the congregation on our Facebook page, or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.